I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, a couple times a week, I hop on both Facebook and Instagram, and I just teach for about 20 minutes on a topic from my devotional, Prevail. And recently, I was sharing how I really believe the enemy of our souls has unleashed a massive wave of distraction. Obviously, destruction, just look around, you see he's wreaking havoc. But I think he's at work with distraction, and he's hoping to derail us from our calling so we'll lose momentum and our sense of God-given purpose. Because if we start to get focused, if we tune out the distractions and we run the race to win the prize, we're going to gain a holy momentum, which will make him tremble and make him sorry he ever messed with us. And I really do believe in this day, God wants us to focus on the right things. Super important. And you know what? Part of that is God has a next place of promise for you. I say that all the time. God has a God-given dream that he wants you to live out. In some ways, it matches, a lot of ways, it matches who you are. But in other ways, it's beyond who you are and can't happen unless God intervenes. Well, my guest today says this. In one breath, we'll say how we want to become more productive and focused. We'll fantasize over having greater fulfillment and even margin in our lives. Then in the next breath, we say things like, yeah, but you don't understand. We'll spend an exorbitant amount of time and energy trying to convince ourselves why it can't happen for us. Well, the truth is we don't get what we want. We get what we argue for. When we focus on why it won't work or how it can't happen to us, we actually waste energy and emotion battling against our own desires. Think about that. Carrie Oberbrunner joins me today to talk about his new book, Unhackable, Close the Gap Between Dreaming and Doing. Quick note before we hear from Carrie, just want to say we are a listener-supported ministry, and we have been in awe of what God has done, how he's grown the ministry, and how he's we've got the live radio show all over the network, but then our shows go to podcast and now are global. All over the world, people are listening from many different countries. Well, that couldn't happen without your gifts, your thoughtful gifts and your prayers. And you just need to know we talk about you every week in our meetings. We pray for you. And if there's ever a way specifically, let us know that we can be praying. But we just want to pause and say thank you with all of our hearts. Thank you for your faithfulness. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Carrie Oberbrunner helps people and organizations clarify who they are, why they're here, and where they should invest their time and energy. He once struggled to find his own distinct voice and passion. As a young man, he suffered from severe stuttering, depression, and even self-injury. Today, he's a transformed man, and he equips people to experience unhackability in work and life and to share their message with the world. Carrie lives in Ohio with his wife, Kelly, and their three children. Carrie, so nice to meet you. Welcome to the show.
It is so exciting to be here, and I just love your energy, and I'm excited to give some value today.
Good. Well, we love to start every day, Carrie, talking scripture, and I'm wondering if there's just something the Lord's been talking to you about these days as you spent time with him.
Yes, I love the passage where, you know, a lot of times we think that God wants us to be perfect and all cleaned up. At least that's how I grew up, thinking that I can only come to God if I've been sinless or if I've, you know, done my devotions. And what I think is that that's a trap. And one of the passages I love is where Jesus responds to Nathanael. And Nathanael heard about Jesus, and he kind of responds right from his gut and says, "What good thing can come from Nazareth?" Kind of a skeptic and a cynic. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus sees him, instead of condemning him, instead of, you know, judging him, he compliments him, and he says, "Behold an Israelite in whom there is no guile." And that word guile, we don't use it too much, but it's deception. And so what I think is that there's a secret here about how authenticity is tied to spirituality. In other words, Nathanael was authentic. He just said what he felt. And Jesus complimented him for it rather than judged him. And I think that's the point where God has to start with us. You know, Jacob's moment of breakthrough happened when he was honest and said his name was Jacob, the deceiver, schemer, and God gave him a new name. So I'm just really thrilled that God doesn't require me to be all cleaned up, but I become cleaned up through Jesus Christ.
Man, I love that so much, Carrie. And I also love that how you kind of gave the context that you started out feeling like you had to get cleaned up. You know, if we get the mindset that we're all supposed to be vanilla, you know, I mean, we get very good at Christianese and all the cliches. And I think a cliche is only a cliche when it doesn't mean something to you, because there are statements that have helped me through some of the hardest times in my life. You know, if God, what is the one that, you know, if he brought you to it, he'll see you through it. Well, that preaches well, but it meant a lot to me in hard times. But you can flip those things out there if they don't change you. But the idea of going, I'm going to wrestle honestly before God. I'm going to be truthful about my fears, and I'm going to find a smiling Savior who's right there, not to fault me, but to help me become who I'm meant to be. That to me is like moving from black and white to technicolor as far as our story goes, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think you're right on. And I love the way you started us today by talking about how the enemy is waging a war with distraction. And you nailed it. We've been hacked this last year, especially. And some people have not recovered. So I'm looking forward to diving into this content today.
I'm looking forward to having you say more even about that. But let's get a little backstory. In the bio, you talked about some of your, you know, the pain that you suffered and endured as a child. As much as you feel comfortable, share a little bit of your backstory with us.
Yeah, you know, I grew up as a pastor's kid, as a parent. I'm sorry, as a child who had parents in the Salvation Army. So, you know, my parents were all about help. Yeah, they're all about helping and giving and serving. Well, we didn't have a lot of income, and that's fine. But, you know, as a young kid, perfectionism was just a big thing for me. And so I don't know where the stuttering started, but I know that I thought I had to be perfect. And even as a young kid, my mom said that I started to hit my leg to try to get words out, you know? And you'd think, well, that's not really self-injury, but think about that for a moment. Like, you got to be perfect. You got to get your words out, and you hit yourself to get your words out the right way. And so even as a young kid, it started the seeds there. But like any kid, we experience pain. And, you know, I had pain happen as a child, deaths, and just, you know, I didn't process through words because I stuttered. So instead, I went inside with the pain. And I remember as a young kid, I don't remember a ton, but I remember as a young kid biting myself when I was angry. And no one taught me that. And I just remember seeing my teeth marks. And it sounds kind of weird, but I think that we all struggle with self-injury through self-limiting beliefs. So I might have done
it physically. Or self-contempt, you know. I think self-contempt's a big one, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I feel like, you know, I might have done the physical self-injury, and then in my teen years it turned into cutting. And yet I was a highly functioning kid. You know, I eventually did get over the stuttering, went to speech therapy, and, you know, became a wrestler on the wrestling team at the Christian school. And, you know, people would say, oh, his life is fine. But every once in a while, every few months out of the year, man, I would just get into this self-hatred. And people think cutting is trying to end your life. At least in all my research, self-injury is a coping mechanism. It's that you don't want your life to end. You're trying to deal with your pain, and it's a way of coping. And so I turned all that anger inward rather than outward, and that was kind of my silent secret addiction. And yet I was training to be a pastor, and so here I am in seminary, even self-injuring then. And God kind of brought it all to a head when in grad school at seminary, I confided in a professor and I said, you know, I'm struggling with self-injury. And that was the first time I'd ever publicly shared it with anyone. And here's the crazy story. Rather than the professor saying, I want to help you, or, you know, let's get you counseling, he listened. And then a week later, I got a note in my student mailbox that he had failed me from the class.
What?
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. And
I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. But yeah. So here I was, like, finally getting free, finally willing to speak up.
Terrible.
And perfectionism. Yeah. And this was a Christian school, you know. But here's what happened, Susie. This is the story. This is how the enemy works. The professor, a month later, it came out that he was sleeping with one of the students in our seminary. And so here's the point. We're all battling. You know, we're all in this war. And what the enemy saw as Carrie's getting free, let's steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
That's where God got glory. And I was engaged at the time. All this was coming out. My wife is now a counselor. So my wife was kind of helping me through all this. And it was not easy. But what got me eventually through was to turn all that anger at self and instead turn it at God. And that won't make a good church sermon, but I had some undealt anger, and I had to go to God with it and express that anger. And by doing that, just like Jonah, or just like David in the Bible, you know, when we are real with God, in fact, David's Psalms, the imprecatory Psalms, they're called, it scares theologians because he's so real in Psalm 109 and Psalm 69, that he's like asking his enemies to be killed. And it scares people because they're thinking, how can a man after God's own heart be so real with God? And yet at the end of the Psalm, he kind of comes back around and says, but you're God, but you're in control. Mm-hmm. So I feel like my view of God and Christianity is very authentic. You know, it's not a Sunday school version. I had to really work through a lot of anger and issues.
I can't even tell you how grateful I am for your honesty. I'm going to pause for a break here, but I'll tell you, when I had some childhood trauma at the hands of teenage boys, and the sexual part of the trauma, I didn't tell anybody till I was about 18. And this counselor, youth worker guy had said, he said, you've got to write down in detail what happened. And if it doesn't rip your guts out, you're not being honest enough. He said, because God can handle this hurt and anger, you can't. So we're going to get it out and then we're going to sort it out. Wow. So all that to say, for the person listening today who has no idea what Carrie's talking about, this is exactly, you know, God is leading you, saying, come on, like a dad grabbing his son who's sobbing. Come to dad. Mm. I'm going to help you get through this. We're going to pause here when we come back. Before we get into the 2020 hack, I want to hear, what was the catalyst? What was the turning point when you started to come into the revelation of the love of God, the grace of God? I'm so grateful you hung in there with your faith. Boy, a lot of people have left the faith over even lesser things. So praise God that you're still standing strong. Talking to Carrie Oberbrunner. His book is titled Unhackable, Close the Gap Between Dreaming and Doing. And we got a handful of copies to give away. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. That song. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to Carrie Oberbrunner. His book is titled Unhackable, Close the Gap Between Dreaming and Doing. And up to this point, we've been unpacking his story. So if you just tuned in, once the live show is over, go back and listen to the podcast because it's just compelling. And I just got to do this wrap on your story because I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. But here, you know, growing up, Salvation Army, I did a speaking event there a couple years ago. And it is a beautiful, amazing people. But it is a rigid system where you can see if you didn't understand the love and the grace of God, you could maybe miss that. And for you to get into the self-harm. And then, oh my word, as a guy in seminary, I think it was, or college, you finally talk to a instructor who turns on you when you're honest about this self-harm thing. I just, but bring me to that place where the revelation of God, just the love and the grace of God, brought you to a place of healing.
Yeah. And by the way, Susie, I can tell you're a kindred spirit. You can tell when someone has wrestled with God. Yeah. We say that that person walks with a limp, you know, like in terms of Jacob with wrestling. But the point is that I became instead a preacher of grace. I became a student of grace. In other words, if people are listening right now and they really struggle with giving other people grace, it's probably because they struggle giving themselves grace. And I mean, that's where the self-injury came from. It was, Carrie, you need to be perfect. Like, you know, it's prodigal son, really. I think that we're either wired toward religion, like the older brother, or rebellion, like the younger brother. And each one is far from the father. So the sin looks different. One is rebellious, but the other one is religious, and neither one needs the father. And so that was where I went. I went the older brother route and said, I'll just be the best Christian. I'll be, you know, and I'll punish myself. Really, self-injury, if you take a deep dive, it's asceticism in the old Christian tradition, where there was a lot of saints throughout history who struggled with punishment.
Self-injury. And I mean, they actually injured themselves thinking they were adding to what – Anyway.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Who was it? Martin Luther, even, I think, was climbed up the stairs to the church back and forth till his knees bled. Like, there's something there that says, I'm going to punish myself. Jesus's blood may be enough, but I'll just do my part. Why? I think it honestly comes down to pride. And, you know, people don't want to hear that, but that's at least for me. Like, sure, I need Jesus, but I'm also a really good Christian, you know, and I think that that shows that we don't really understand the depth of our depravity nor the height of his grace. And so that's what broke me. It was, you know what, pride is probably the worst type of sin because you don't see your need for a savior. So, once God got a hold of me, I'm certainly not perfect, but I'm a ton more grateful and graceful as well.
Beautiful. Wow. Thank you for giving us the time to hear that story. You talked about 2020, you know, being the ultimate hack. I've been talking on the show, for the last year, about just ways the enemy's wielding all his favorite tools, you know, isolation, despair, discouragement, fear. And many cases, Carrie, Christians have lost their minds. I mean, as far as they've lost their wits, as far as forgetting, you know, what's important and what's true. So I want your take. What have you seen? What have you observed? What do you think?
A hack is where someone or something gains unauthorized access to a system or a computer. So in that sense, we often think of computers, phones, bank accounts getting hacked. But the reality is that our bodies are made up of systems. Think back to the circulatory system, the respiratory system, and our brains are like supercomputers. So I began to see a trend on how people were getting hacked. And I wrote a fiction book called Elixir Project back in 2016, and it was sci-fi and it was dystopian, and it kind of talked about people's brains literally getting hacked by a future society. But then when the book came out, a lot of my coaching clients who are in the corporate world said, this isn't just fiction. This is legit. Like, we're seeing this happen. And so here's how people get hacked. Here's how you and I get hacked. The average person touches, clicks, swipes, taps their phone 2,600 times a day. The average person sees 5,000 ads a day. We make 226.7 food decisions a day. So what's happening is we live in a world that's very different. Human knowledge used to double once every 1,000 years. Today it doubles once every 12 hours.
Wow.
So there's, yeah, as you think about that, the first time human knowledge doubled was between 0 to 1500 AD. That was 30 generations. You know, today it's doubling every 12 hours. No wonder why we say at the end of the day, I'm running on fumes, I'm empty, my tank is empty. And we literally say words like, let me just veg out. Well, veg is short for vegetable, and the brainwaves of a vegetable are dead. So we're saying about our lives and our pace, let me be brain dead so I can just sit here, because we have so many stimuli and impulses going into our brain. And then you ask yourself, you know, how can we fulfill our divine destiny? How can we be creators? Because that's what God did. God created and said, now I'm creating you in my image to co-create. But most of us choose to be cynics, critics, and consumers. And as a result, we don't fulfill that divine destiny. And so the book talks about, this is pretty cool, Susie. It talks about how the word abracadabra means I create as I speak. That's literally the definition. I create as I speak. It comes from three Hebrew words. The first one is abra, which is Abba. So Father, Son, and Spirit make up the word abracadabra. And as young kids, we wanted to create something magical where we create and we speak and it happens simultaneously. But the problem is that we get hacked. There's this gap between dreaming and doing, and now we no longer fulfill our divine destiny. And the book's about reclaiming that so that we can go back to our original calling where we do dream and then we do accomplish, just like Nehemiah with the walls, just like Solomon with the temple. You look at throughout scripture and there's dreamers and doers, and that's who we're supposed to be.
And if there's ever a time where there's this vacuum and this need, it's right now. I mean, this, we've been talking. It's like, this is a time for innovation. This is a time to note a problem and say, Lord, here am I, send me. We're going to pause here when we come back. But Carrie, I want you to make the distinction on the other side between kind of a self-ambitious, you know, dream and goal where everybody pays so you can achieve your fame, and a God-given dream where others flourish because you are stepping into what God has for you. Because there's a significant distinction in my mind. And I also want to talk about the ways you talk about we're getting hacked. I'll read these real quick as we're getting ready to break here. Smartphones, multitasking, social media, streaming videos, advertising, decision fatigue. We'll unpack those too on the other side. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Carrie Oberbrunner. His book is titled Unhackable, Close the Gap Between Dreaming and Doing. And friends, if there's ever a time to stop being a critic, a cynic, somebody who's constantly distracted or sitting in the stands criticizing how everybody else is doing it, it is now. It is time to get on the field and be mobilized in our purpose. And it's a God-given purpose. And we've got a handful of copies to give away of Carrie's book. You can text the word book. Just book, no smiley face, no quotes, nothing like that, because you'll get an auto link back, and then it just takes you a minute. And the reason we have to do it that way is because we give resources away, lots of them every day, and we don't have the manpower to manually enter everybody's information. So if you can just take a minute to enter your information where we should send the book if you win, that helps immensely. So just text the word book to 877-933-2484. So, Carrie, before the break, I was saying, you know, I feel, in my opinion, there's a huge difference between a self-ambitious goal where I'm just going to make a name for myself and I don't care who I have to walk on, what family members I have to sacrifice so I can have my 5 minutes of fame, and a God-given dream where others flourish because I had the guts to step into my purpose. Make the distinction for us.
You know, there's two ways to view the verse, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. There's a self-focused way, which says, if I get tight with God, he'll give me whatever I want. You know, so if I get tight with God, he'll give me the Lamborghini or whatever. But the other way to view the verse is the God-centered way, which is just like if I view my marriage as if I delight myself in Kelly, my wife, the desires that I have are basically God-given. In other words, God and me get so tight together that my desires become his desires. And this is where some people are scared to trust their heart because they say, oh, you know, the scriptures say the heart is deceitful above all things, you know, it's desperately wicked. But it also says about our hearts in Ezekiel that God gives us a new heart. And it says in Corinthians that the old is passed away and the new has come. So I believe in this concept of the redeemed heart, the heart that says, you know what? I can hear God. The Holy Spirit is in me. Now, is the Holy Spirit ever going to lead me contrary to Scripture? No. But I think it's an excuse. It was for me, and it is for a lot of Christians. They're scared to fail. They're scared to take a risk. And so they just say, well, God hasn't told me, so I'm just going to sit here. And I think that's the worst. I think that's the parable of the talents, where the one is afraid and buries it. And God actually commends the servant who says, I got 5 talents, and I didn't get a map, and I didn't get a plan, but I went and multiplied them. So I kind of have this view right now of God and I, where I have freedom, and I have the Father's blessing, and I have the Father's approval, and I'm going to go hard and strong in this world, and God can and will and does lead me when I step into the wrong places.
Love that. Wow, I kind of want you to say that again. I have the Father's love, his blessing, his approval. You know, I've interviewed guests before who said that when you're walking intimately with God and you're not overtly sinning, even Mark Batterson said this, who endorsed your book, you can pay attention to the desires that are forming in your heart. But you're right, we're so full of excuses because we're so terrified. What if we did that? What if we, you know, you know you're not willfully sinning, you're not living a double life, you follow God. What if you could walk free and go, he loves me, he'll correct me if I need it, but I'm going to be free under his smile and steward the gifts that are in front of me. I mean, what would happen if we did that?
Well, and it takes a maturity in the faith. In other words, just like you look at a married couple that's been, you know, married for long seasons. I mean, there might not be that, quote, spark of 2 teenagers, but it's a mature and it's a seasoned love. And that's where I think God wants to lead us. Where we're not this wild, emotional, up and down, you know, does God love me? Does God hate me? You know, he loves me, loves me not. But there's this maturity that happens where you just know the voice. It's like where Elijah talks about the whisper. You know, it's not in the fire and the rocks tearing apart. It's in the whisper.
Boy, that's good. Boy, to trust his love, you know, to know this love is to be filled with the fullness of God. And I think it's 1 John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. And that know is an experiential. We know it, and then we rely on it. Boy, we could spend a whole show on that. Well, you looked at some of the ways we're getting hacked, and I just want to read this list, and you can pick whichever ones you want to speak to. Smartphones, multitasking, which you say is a myth, social media, streaming videos, advertising, and decision fatigue. Speak to whatever ones are on your heart today.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I love technology. I mean, we're using technology now, and I use it every day to contact my clients around the world, like it would be foolish for me to say technology is evil and technology is the enemy. It's a tool. But here's the problem. We now are the tool and technology is using us. In other words, it's switched. We now have a world where it has become an addiction. And digiphrenia, which is a weird word, but it actually is a condition where we now exist in multiple places at once. For example, there's stress now that is being observed in people because they exist on LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter. In other words, they're three places at once, and they feel the pull of that persona having to match in all three places at once. And these are things that our ancestors never even dealt with. When the movie came out, The Social Dilemma, it launched right when the book launched. And we now see that truth is getting hacked. So your screen is different than my screen, and my screen is telling me different answers than your screen. You know, we used to go to this objective source called truth, which is found in scripture. Now they're showing how you can use Google in different locations around the world and you'll get different answers. So in other words, our truth is now being subjective. So the point is this, we try to do these little shortcuts that say, well, I'm just going to multitask. It's impossible to multitask two cognitive things. Now, you can mow the lawn and listen to an audiobook at the same time, but that's not two cognitive things. You can't have a conversation and be on a webinar and type an email at the same time. That's called switch tasking. And when we do it, it puts a toll on our IQ. It actually reduces our IQ to the level of being stoned, and we lose 40% of our productivity. So what happens is we basically say, I go from the webinar to the email to the conversation and then back again. And what happens is the attention residue is where you and I leak energy and we leak attention. And so part of our attention remains on the webinar and part of it remains on the email. And as a result, we literally do not show up filled up.
Wow.
We literally, we dissect ourselves into pieces, and this is why people feel it. You know when someone's not listening and trying to do something because their attention is leaking.
I remember being on a phone call with someone in my publishing world, and he was on speaker, and I could hear click, 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 click while he's talking to me. And I still wanted to go, are you seriously typing right now? Or he'd ask me a story. He asked me to tell a story. What happened there or whatever? So I'm telling him, and I hear click, click, click.
Yeah.
I'm like, you seriously asked me a question, and now you're – anyway. But, you know, I mean,
we all do that. And you feel that,
yeah.
Heart sink,
yeah.
You know, where you know that the person is no longer with you. And here's what's really interesting, Susie, and you interrupt me when we have when we got a break. But there's a term in the counseling world called, and you probably know this from trauma, disassociation. So what we do is we literally leave our mind to cope because of the painful situation happening to us. Well, today, more and more people are disassociating by multitasking. In other words, it's too painful to be fully present and listen. So therefore, I'm going to distract myself so that I don't have to fully be here. And as a result, we lose our impact, influence, and income.
Mm. And momentum. Wow. I mean, we
yes.
all have to look at that because we're in a multitasking world. I mean, I noticed it in my time with the Lord in the morning. I've got a very protected time and I spend a pretty substantial
yes.
time. I love my time with God. But I noticed this kind of thing where, because I put my little headphones on, I get a worship playlist going, and that's just how I start. But with all the notifications coming up on my phone, phone being upright, my eyes are zipping over, and I just pictured sitting
yes.
with God in real life going, what would that be like? I'm having an intense conversation, and I go, one more second. So I just I flip it over, I push it away, and so I'm just hearing my playlist, and then I stop it because I have an Apple Watch. I stop it when I'm done. And I just,
nice.
That has made such a difference. But we all need to take that kind of inventory If I mean that you know it's kind of step one, isn't it, for getting a vision, for getting things done and doing what God wants us to do?
Well, you just nailed it. What you've done is you've created an unhackable worship process. And it's those little things that happen. I mean, there's some people that say, you know what, I need to literally leave my phone in the vehicle the first 30 minutes when I come home after work. Because, and I mean, I'm guilty of this, like, if your phone's on you, we have now wearables and we have phones, and all of a sudden, now we're never free. And again, I'm not saying technology, let's just destroy it all. I'm saying we need to manage it and get our lives back.
Boy, that's fantastic, Carrie. I love this. You said each of us are hardwired to dream and do. This includes big dreams like building a house, completing a degree, or finishing a screenplay. But it also includes small dreams like exercising, organizing your garage, or getting your assignment completed in time. Just a couple minutes before our break here, Carrie, but when you talk about that, these big dreams and small dreams, and then you talk about all these hacks, you say that there's actually science behind unhackability. Make that case, if you would.
Yeah. They've done all the research and realized that the happiest people in life are those that see progress. So think about this for a moment. Disney used to have as their slogan, the happiest place on earth. And now it's the place where dreams come true. So which is it? It's actually both. The place where dreams come true is the happiest place on earth. And so when we don't see our dreams come true, we are literally experiencing cortisol. Cortisol is the stress in our bodies, where then we basically need to counter that with neurochemicals. Neurochemicals can counter it through exercise, like endorphins, serotonin, dopamine, these types of things. But the substitute, the inferior solution, is smartphones. If you Google this, all the research shows that we get a dopamine hit every time we check our phones, and it's a slot machine. So we don't know if anyone's pinged us. We don't know if we've gotten any alerts. And so our phones now become this source, much like gambling, where we go to it and get that little hit, get that little dopamine. Well, God's given us other ways to get dopamine, which is connection and exercise and creativity. And so again, I'm not saying bust up your smartphone. I'm on one right now. I'm just saying that we need to bring back a balance, and we need to set up boundaries. Because otherwise, literally, in the future, there's going to be what's called injectables. And we'll have technology, not that we wear, but that's injected into us. And we're not too far away. I mean, people think this is sci-fi. It's coming. And unless we learn how to master it now, we're only going to struggle more in the future.
My goodness, we're going to pause here. When we come back, Carrie, I want you to talk about the phrase up until now and how we need to take a look at the narrative, the story we've been telling, and see if we need to tell a new story. Talking to Carrie Oberbrunner, this has just been fascinating, and we're just scratching the surface of what I think Carrie has to say today. So you may have to come back, and we need to pick up where we left off. His book is Unhackable, Close the Gap Between Dreaming and Doing. We're going to talk about the story you tell yourself, why that matters. I pray that we've made the case. There are lots of distractions, and I just believe we have a very real enemy who's seeking to steal, kill, and destroy. So what if we started to get focused? What if we became unhackable and then started moving out into the purposes of God? Boy, someone once said 1,000 people are waiting on the other side of your obedience. What might happen if you step into your God-given call? More with Carrie Oberbrunner in a moment. Tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Carrie Oberbrunner. Fascinating conversation. Wow, I've loved every minute. If you just tuned in, we're toward the end of the conversation. So once the live show is over, it'll go up to podcast. You can find it on any of your podcast players. You want to listen. It's powerful. Talk, if you would, Carrie, about the phrase up until now and just how we analyze the narrative, the story we've been telling ourselves.
Yeah, you know, depression comes from grief about a loss. And many times we lose something. In 2020, we got hacked. Most of us lost something. Joy, peace, a job, relationships, these types of things. So what we need to do is create a new future. And creating a new future means that we stop bringing our old past with us. So a lot of times people, what they do is, what we do is we came into 2021 thinking, I'm going to get a new year. But we bring our same story with us. So the story we brought with us was, I don't have enough education. Or I didn't come from a great family. Or you know what, I just had a death or a broken relationship. So we bring these old stories with us and we want to create a new future. The problem is if we just deny the old story, it feels like we're lying. It feels like we're stuffing it. So what I've learned to do is to use this phrase up until now, where you basically acknowledge your past, but you create a new future with your words. So for example, let's say I always struggle making appointments and following through. Rather than saying on whatever day it is, let's say it's February 5th, rather than saying, you know, Carrie, you're just so bad at following through. You're just, you know, you can't even be trusted. Like, that's not going to create a new future. So rather than lying to myself and saying I'm not like that, here's what I say. I say, up until now, I've not been good at following through. But now I'm going to change. Or with the Lord's help, I'm going to change. So I say that because otherwise it's a hack. I see people hacked by their past all the time. People like, I mean, just go to movies for a moment. The movie Lion King, even. You know, Lion King, Simba got to this place where he was supposed to be heir to the throne, child of the king. He went to places he shouldn't go, the elephant graveyard, quote, the metaphor is sin. What happened? The father had to save him and died in the process. Well, as a result, he's kicked out of the kingdom. He's told he's a murderer. He's told he's a disappointment. And so he lives a life of Hakuna Matata. Don't worry, be happy. That's where a lot of people are today. And that's a hack. They got hacked and they think this is just the way it is, or I'll never measure up. Well, what's interesting is the breakthrough happened when he returned to the father. And Rafiki says to Simba, I saw your father. And he says, no, he's dead. He says, no, he's very much alive. He takes him on a journey, tells him to look into a pond, and all he sees is disgust. He sees his past. He says, that's not my father. It's just me. That's where a lot of Christians are right now. They're looking in the pond of life. They're looking at 2021, and they're looking and saying, you know, I've never measured up, or I've always failed. And what he does is he tells him to look deeper. And as he looks deeper, he sees an image of his father who says, you are more than who you've become. You're more than who you've become. And that's the message today. You can be unhackable. In fact, you are unhackable. You serve the unhackable God who lived an unhackable life, who says that I live now inside you. So say, up until now, I haven't been fulfilled, or up until now, I haven't been obedient. Give yourself the gift of a new future, because that's what God has told you today, too.
I love that. You know, I had a brain science expert on the show a couple years ago, and she talked about cognitive dissonance. And she said sometimes the kind of name it, claim it, where let's say you battle chronic illness and you say, yes, I'm healthy, I'm not sick, I'm healthy. And she said, your brain knows that's not true. There's, so that's like if you picture a road with, you know, a middle part of it being blown up, or a bridge, you know, she said, but to say, I am on my way, I'm not staying stuck here. I battle chronic illness, but I'm on my way to being healthy and whole. Well, your brain can buy into that. In fact, it responds to that. And I just think that is kind of along the lines of what you're saying now. I'm acknowledging this has been true, but truer still is a God who's in the business of redeeming me. And too often, I think we get stuck on that backside of that bridge, and you know, or, and those who are maybe saying, kind of doing the name and claim it thing, and they just keep saying it, but things don't change because maybe they're not changing in the process. Maybe wonder if they missed something. So love this. I think it's just a powerful way to look at it. You know, in the book, you ask the question, what is your deepest desire, your greatest ache, and your truest longing? What was that for you, Carrie? And talk about why those questions are important.
It's a great question. Basically, I believe that we're each created with what's called a boon, B-O-O-N. And it comes from a book called The Hero with a Thousand Faces, Joseph Campbell, The Hero's Journey. But the whole point of The Hero's Journey is that they ultimately achieve a boon. And we know that Jesus's boon was us. You know, it says he was crucified before the foundations of the world, for God so loved the world. You know, John 3:16, we are the boon that Jesus came and died for. Well, we each are supposed to have a greatest ache, a deepest desire, a truest longing. But a lot of us haven't slowed down long enough to do the deep digging. And your boon does change and it does evolve. But for me, my boon right now is to ignite 100 million souls by 2030. And that's a big boon. I mean, that is a deep desire. But it seeps into the way I parent, the way I am in my marriage, the business, the clients. I mean, you name it. It's a deep desire. And so now I'm able to choose to say yes to things based upon that filter. Before you have a filter, you don't know what you're supposed to do. In fact, there's a quote by James Allen that says, until thought is linked with purpose, there is no intelligent accomplishment. So it's kind of like we get in a car and we say we're going on a ride. Where? I don't know. And that's only fun for so long. You got to have the GPS coordinates to feel fulfillment so you arrive at your destination. So my challenge to all of us is to say, let's stop long enough. Let's get off social media long enough to come up with our boon. You know, we've been created for good works in Christ Jesus, prepared beforehand. So that means that God knows what they are. He doesn't want to keep it a mystery. He wants to reveal it to us as we seek him. And that's what it's about.
Beautiful. We just got a little bit of time left. I'm wondering if you pray for that person who feels maybe a little bit terrified, but at the same time excited at the thought of facing down some fears, getting focused, and discovering what that boon is, and then taking the next steps. Would you pray for that person?
Absolutely. God, we do thank you for this show. We thank you for the listeners. We thank you for the support that they give to the show. They believe in the mission. And we're here today, not by accident. There's people right now listening. And you know they're supposed to be listening. You've prepared this beforehand. And God, each one of us can become overwhelmed when we think about the adventure ahead of us. You don't ask us to do that. You ask us to take one step at a time. You ask us to give each day enough worry of its own that we don't need to become anxious. And so I pray for the person right now who wants to know step 2 or 32 or 72. God, we do pray for the person who wants to worry about step 72 instead of just step 1. We ask, God, that you give the person faith right now to take action and be obedient for the next best step. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Carrie, you were a fantastic guest. I want you to come back. I feel like we've just scratched the surface of the content in your book. Really, I'm really inspired and so challenged. Thank you for this time today, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. All right. Carrie Oberbrunner, friends, his book, Unhackable, Close the Gap Between Dreaming and Doing. Hey, we'll leave that drawing open for a little bit yet. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. You know, one of the things that gets me out of bed every day is getting people ready to meet Jesus. If you've never met him, I want you to meet him. I want you to trust him and follow him. If you've followed him for a long time, but you've been living in the shadows, I want you mobilized into your purpose. He's coming again. May we live ready. Have a blessed day. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.